dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I said we had some Nets fans on the line, and we got to go to them. The Knicks had an 8-0 run. They got the lead, but it was so short-lived. It was a matter of seconds until the Celtics came back. Splash. Took the lead right back. But at least you're getting the look and the energy out of the New York Knicks that they absolutely need. Don't go down by a lot of points. Stick with them. I mean, early on here, like, Derek White is 4-for-4. Imagine you bet Derek White's made threes tonight. He's got four. He's made all four that he shot. He's probably going for 8 tonight. Might be able to still get on that bet now. As far as the Knicks are concerned, they have three players in their starting lineup with 5. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby. Speaking of Mikal Bridges, you know, we used to call him Brooklyn Bridges. Again, if the Knicks do not survive this second round, the conversation shifts back to that transaction. And yeah, in Knicks fans' minds, Mikal Bridges is absolutely worth the trade in those picks. But in Nets fans' minds, they're going to say, yeah, he balled for the first two games of the second round. What does that matter? Let's go to Jack in Rockaway, Queens on the Fan next. What's up, Jack?
How you doing, Keith? Of course, that's no other choice.
I know it. You know it. Why get your hopes up?
It's March. It comes down to we had one job to do this year, one job to lose. All these picks, and at least we have this, and we have these 27 second-round picks for the next 30 years, and they mean nothing. The 25th and 26th pick this year really don't mean nothing. If they would have beat the Knicks the last game, they would have dropped the Knicks pick by 5 picks. We would have 21 instead of 26 pick. But we chose to keep Cam Johnson. We chose to keep Claxton. And this isn't the worst part of it. Is we traded, we got fleeced with Philly. I mean, a year after the fact on an expiring contract, they got more than we got from. We took Ben Simmons. I was getting so aggravated.
Would have never
we
done
took
it.
Ben Simmons 3-year contract of $40 million a year, and we got one stinking protected ace pick, top 8 pick from Philly, and they got 2 number 1 picks. An unprotected pick from the Clippers, or future, which is going to be incredible, and a pick swap. So we got fleeced.
Oh, but we got Andre Drummond and Seth Curry, even deal, right?
Yeah, and we got even more fleeced on this Houston deal because this we all these picks that we acquired, these future Phoenix picks and future Dallas 1 pick, because we didn't want to give Kai, we didn't want to get Lakers 2 number 1 picks unprotected because that's where he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. So we took a crappy Dallas pick. Luckily, and then we gave that to Houston as a swap. We gave the Philly. Our picks are going to be, unless the Knicks really severely tank,
Let's make sure we blame Joseph Tsai. Let's blame the owner, Joe Tsai, as well as Sean Marks, because he was influencing
you're
him.
Right.
And he keeps him employed.
I don't get it. And I just one other comment on this thing. I don't want to go for Giannis, even though I'm a suffering enough. Giannis has been out of the first round when he was 28. When he was 29, and when he started, he's got 12 years of vigor. I mean, the guy's one of the best athletes the NBA has ever seen. But again, he's 30, and these players, your ligaments, your ACLs, your calves, the Achilles, they don't last. And
yeah, he's been learn. We got to learn from our own mistakes. Build your own. Don't go chasing the superstars over the hill. Over 30 years old. Thanks for the call, Jack. Jack knows. He's lived it. I could tell in his voice. Like. He started off, we're cursed. Say, you know that. We know that. I'm not even going to front about it. The Nets have brought me up to highs just to drop me down on my head as a kid, as a young man, and as a grown man. So now I'm at the point now, don't do it. Learn. Fool me, can't fool me again. And then it's funny, you mentioned the, tanking. The Nets didn't know if they were going to tank, if they were going to go for it. Are they winning? Are they competing? There were too many cooks in the kitchen. You had a head coach that was out there fighting the referees and fighting other players for his job. Understood. He, you know, in the NBA, you could get fired after a year, especially with the Nets and looking at how many coaches they've had. But then you had some players that were out there Some nights going for it, some nights just getting all-time smoked. That Clippers game, I'll never forget watching that Clippers game. I'm like, why am I watching them play the Clippers out west? I don't even have to be on the radio after this. I can go to sleep. They got smoked. It was something ridiculous. They lost by like 67 points. So anyway, where I'm getting with the Nets is then they made a little bit of a run where we were thinking about them making the play-in. For what? It wouldn't have mattered because even if they'd gotten a play-in, they would have lost. Or if they did play themselves into the playoffs, they would have made history because they would have been swept out of the first round again. They got swept by the Celtics, swept by the Sixers. So I'm looking at NBA Twitter right now, and shout out to Robin Lundberg. He did a season of Talking Nets with me. He said tanking is no longer a viable option in the NBA. And when you actually look at how it shook out, you have to say conspiracy. You have to say the NBA is holding the pen and writing the script because the top three teams were all contenders until their star players suffered injury. I mean, even in the case of the Dallas Mavericks, right, Luka got traded, but they were going to be in it with Kyrie. Once Kyrie got hurt and Anthony Davis was day-to-day, they didn't have a shot. Oh, OG just missed a point-blank dunk. But the Knicks are holding. There's another lead. 26-25 Knicks with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. This first quarter is looking like how you would want it to look in a game that the Knicks have to have. 888-808-1019. So last thing about the Nets, and we'll take another Nets call. Eric out in Brooklyn. You're on the on-deck circle. You're about to hit in a minute. Tankathon.com put it up, and the Brooklyn Way on Twitter said literally every team that tanked dropped in the lottery. If you tanked, you went backwards from where you were projected. But the teams that shot up, Dallas, San Antonio, Philly. Dallas with Luka and Kyrie, or let's say Kyrie and AD. San Antonio with Wemby and Chris Paul. And then Philly with Embiid and Paul George and Maxi, like they once they fell out of it, those teams shouldn't be able to beat. But you know what? You give them. It's just great how it works, right? Because now it's like, again, and we talk about this in the NFL. Tanking doesn't guarantee you anything. But again, in the NBA, losing all those games, tanking like the Wizards did, it didn't get you anywhere. It didn't get you those top three picks. So right now, you're looking at Dallas taking Cooper Flagg. Maybe San Antonio takes Dylan Harper. And then Philadelphia takes Ace Bailey, and the rich get richer once they get healthier. 888-808-1019. Eric is out in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, Eric?
Keith, man, a big Nets fan. I came into this season. We got four first-round picks. Like, it's going to be great. It's a super deep draft. And I'm just like, I'm sitting on hold for this. I find myself believing the craziest stuff, man. Like, it's rigged, right? 1.8% chance that Dallas gets that pick.
Yeah, I can't say anything else. And you know what it is, Eric? And like you and I know this, and basketball fans know this. We've seen them veto trades. We've seen them maneuver things. We've seen things go on that is just like, it raised your eyebrow. When you saw them bring a casket to American Airlines Center where the Dallas Mavericks play, when you saw their fans petitioning, when you saw their fans leaving the games, when you saw how bad it got after the Luka trade, the NBA had to do something about it because the NBA does not want to lose that Dallas market. That is one of the larger markets. The NBA just made sure that ball, think, went to number one, Dallas, so they can go and get their fan base re-energized because Cooper Flagg is going to be playing for them next fall. It's crazy.
So I think it's rigged, but I'm almost like more mad about the Spurs. My wife is a big Spurs fan. And she's had it so good for so long. Number two now? Like, think of a franchise where everything that can go right does go right over and over and over again. And it's such a small market. San Antonio, what is the incentive to keep throwing things their way? But I think they're going to take that second round pick or that second overall pick. They're going to trade it to get Giannis. They don't need Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper. Like, they're just going to get Giannis.
Why not?
Be like,
because they have Stephen Castle. They have Castle, who was the rookie of the year, too. Yeah.
The rich only get richer. And I would even, like, what is the point of the Nets? I don't know. I find myself wondering, like, are you familiar with the myth of Sisyphus? Guy who has betrayed Zeus and is forced to roll a rock up the hill for the rest of eternity in the underworld. And then once he reaches the top, the rock rolls all the way back down. and he has to do it over and over again.
Oh, man.
That's how I feel as a Nets fan, you know? What's the
spot
point?
Spot on assessment, comparison, analogy. Thanks for the call, Eric. It sucks. The Nets push that rock up and they get it going, and you think they have something with Deron Williams and Brooke Lopez and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and the rock goes right back down. And then they push the rock up again with Kenny Atkinson. And all of a sudden, you got a team with D'Lo and Caris LeVert and Joey Buckets and Jared Allen and Spencer Dinwiddie and those guys. And you're like, all right, Jared Dudley getting into some back and forth. And then, nope, the rock comes right back down. They get the gentleman sweep from the Sixers. But then you're like, okay, whatever. That summer, they're able to get the clean sweep. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. Here come the Brooklyn Nets. While all the Knicks fans had no idea they would have this team, all they could do was hate on KD, hate on Kyrie, hate on the Nets. Why would you choose the Nets? Nobody's a Nets fan. They're whack. Brooklyn is whack. They should have stayed in Jersey. And then the Nets get greedy. They kick Kenny Atkinson to the curb, coach of the year this year. And the Nets put Steve Nash in the driver's seat, because they think that that's going to work, right? First-time head coach. Oh, he was a former MVP. He'll get KD and Kyrie to listen to him. And then everything happens, from the pandemic and the COVID shot to the big three. And Harden don't really like it here. Harden likes to be out in Vegas. This is too far from Houston and the nightclubs. And, you know, it just doesn't happen, right? This big three that the Nets put together was all in people's minds, right, on paper. Similar to this Knicks team, how talented this Knicks team is. It's like, yeah, like individually putting them together, they're very talented, but they have to come together on the floor and get it done. The universe wasn't ready for that big three. Hamstring, strain, pull. Harden is, you know, champing it out, playing through it. Kyrie, ankle, boom, he's out. And then KD steps on the line. You guys know what happened. And then the ball rolls right back down. They're never able to get there. And now you're watching a Nets team this year that was supposed to tank and get Cooper flagged. They get the 8th overall pick. So where are they next year? They're going to be bottom of the East, but you can't tank again. They're going to try and compete for the, you know, 8th, 9th spot.
Well, and that's why I think they're going to have to go for Giannis. And even just because have no other option.
So the Nets have this thing on YouTube. It's called Scout, I believe, and I just started watching it. I actually have it in my watch later. And the whole premise, they're talking about, you know, building their own, and they're giving you an inside look at the front office and what they're doing. And they're basically selling us on, like, we're not going to make those mistakes again. And honestly, Sean Marks can't afford to. This is his last time to build this thing and do this thing right.
I understand that, but like, and even I believe it was Brian Lewis of the Post who had the article today saying the Nets are ready to pounce if Giannis is available. I would say
it's Nets for clicks. Because you know what they do, Paul? It's New York. They sell the market. There's one basketball team you really want to play for in New York, and they're playing right now, and the Celtics have gone on another run. It's 39-30, though. They sell the market. Giannis is walking around Midtown with his wife and his baby in a stroller, so they sell the market. But I don't think that the Nets need to go get Giannis. I don't see it. I don't want it.
That offseason, though, is going to be interesting, because now you have a really good coach. Now, listen, they had a really good coach in Atkinson last time, and it's clear that Durant got him fired. Durant wanted Steve Nash in there. Durant put Steve Nash in there. So people can say the Nets is that. Kevin Durant didn't like Kenny Atkinson.
They all pushed him out, man. Yeah. Kyrie got on KD's podcast and said, we don't need a coach. Any night, any of us could be the coach. And I'm like, are you insane?
And they didn't get one because Steve Nash wasn't a coach, and it's proven that he hasn't got another job since.
You need a coach in the NBA. Somebody's got to call the timeouts. Somebody's got to run film. Somebody's got to have strategy in-game. Somebody's got to draw up a play. Somebody's got to tell you what to do on the inbound. When you're in the heat of the moment, I don't care who you are. And, like, these guys are idiots. If KD signed an extension, he should have still been in Brooklyn. If they would have paid Kyrie and found a way to keep them two, not even Harden, like, they could be playing in the Eastern Conference semi. Okay, here we go. The Knicks are on a run. They could be in the semifinals right now. The Knicks are battling. It's 39-33 in the second quarter, 10 and a half minutes to go. Let me take another Knicks call. They're doing what you want them to do. They're not getting blown out. They're not giving up a large lead. They're taking the punches. If this is a boxing match, the Celtics have got off a couple right hooks, but the Knicks have returned serve and hit them back, and they're not falling yet. They look good. So that's all you can ask for, right? And if they can keep it close, you know what happens late in the game. So just don't let these guys get on a big run. Let's go to Dr. Noel in Tuxedo, New York. What's up, Doc?
What's up? What's up, Chris? This is just, I mean, Keith, sorry about that.
All good, all good. Yeah. I wasn't even going to say anything.
This Knicks team will certainly drive you crazy. I was like, they were looked close, and now they extended the lead, and now they're close again. This team just drives you crazy.
And it's the playoffs, mm-hmm. So your emotions are already all over the place. You're starting to think the worst, but you also still have to keep the best in mind. Like, if they take this game, they go to Boston, and it's a closeout game. It's an elimination game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so I find myself, even in the first series, was like, turning the TV off.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I don't want to watch it, and then I got to turn it back on, but I have it recorded, so I get to watch the whole thing, and I'm not as exacerbated, or my emotions are not going that crazy because I'm not watching it live. I don't like watching this.
Yeah, and it's,
live
it's
right
Monday
now.
Night. You might not want to put back too many beers or shots or anything. You got to get through this one sober.
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout out if I could.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right with you? Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to my nephew Drew Lipkin. His band Laundry Day is actually playing halftime tonight.
Oh wow!
So excited for them.
What a stage for them to get.
Yeah, they actually played it during the regular season. They had so much fun, and they wanted him around, so they actually they asked him back to do it again.
Well, that's amazing. Thanks for the call, Doc. 888-808-1019. What an opportunity to get to perform Madison Square Garden halftime in front of stars. In front of entertainers. My guy, Gary V, courtside. I got to get back with Gary. I think I got to hit Gary's guy, Tyler, and get back into the office with Gary V and those guys, see what they're up to. They're Knicks fans. We don't, you know, when you're not a Knicks fan, you're like an outsider. When you don't get down with all the Knicks tape, Knicks Nation, Knicks, I'm like, I mean, I could talk about the Knicks. But, like, my heart is not in this game or this series right now. It doesn't mean anything to me. I would like to see them beat the Celtics, but if they lose to the Celtics, it'll just be as I expected, you know? Carl Anthony Towns battling. It's a game, folks. I'm running out of time. When we come back, I'll lean more into the Yankees and the Mets. I mean, the Mets are playing. It's still 1-0 over there. But, yeah, I do want to give credit to some folks. 1-1. I do want to give some credit to some of the Mets players. And then continue to sing the praises of, from the top down, the owner, the president of baseball operations, and the manager. Before we get to the Subway Series, then there's no nice talk. There's no compliments. It's on. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I will be right back. I was just talking to Rich Ackerman. I'm like, the Knicks will go on a little bit of a run. They'll take a lead. They can't hold it for long. And then the Celtics will just hit them with a barrage of threes and moves and plays, and it's just like it's just starting to look like, as Drew Holiday shoots a stupid three, it's just starting to look like the Celtics have gotten their groove back. And as I looked at the box score and the shooting before that shot, they were 10 of 16 from three, shooting 62.5%. Now they're 10 of 17, shooting 58.8%. And what was the key to victory? One of the main keys to victory for the Knicks in games 1 and 2 was the Celtics shooting 25%. They missed a record amount of threes in the first game, and then they came back in the second game and missed the same amount percentage-wise. What are the chances that happens again? They're very small. Okay, Deuce McBride. Now the Knicks are on another run, 48-42. And you got to get points from the bench, but ultimately where I'm at is like, it is going to take everything for the Knicks. And if the Celtics just play their regular game, if the Celtics just do what they regularly do and don't blow a 20-point lead, they'll handle business here and get back to their building where they owe their fans a win. 888-808-1019. The Yankees tonight will play in Seattle. And when I was telling my Dave Sims story, I forgot to mention, I was trying to get the name of what it was. It was the Game Changers event. I got to interview CeCe Sabathia. I got to interview Curtis Granderson. I got to interview Pedro Martinez, Adam Jones. And then I went back to my Instagram. And yes, Dave Sims gave me a moment of his time. This is July 16th, 2023. So this is before I knew he would be the Yankee broadcaster. This is before I, got to see him as many times as I've seen him now, been around him now. And like I said, he was gracious. He was professional. And, you know, this past weekend, he was on a little bit of a break. That flight out there to Seattle or Sacramento is a long flight. Like I said, bro was 72 years old, and he was tapping in with the people in Seattle a weekend leading into this Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night series, and good. You know, I know John, as John Sterling got older, there were some trips that he did not take, whether they were West Coast trips or they were, you know, lower-ranked teams in Major League Baseball. You know, you just kind of start to pick and choose. You know, even a couple years back, obviously John wrapped up last year, but a couple years back it started where we were getting, you know, fill-ins, whether it was Shackle or Emmanuel or whomever. So, yeah, just trying to give Dave some love. I'm sure he's going to be right back in his seat doing his thing tonight, 9:40, and you can listen to it right here on The Fan. The Yankees will put Clark Schmidt on the mound, and Emerson Hancock will tow the slab out there in Seattle. Great ballpark. Amazing ballpark, honestly. I forget what they call their, like, legends, but it's beautiful. It's so nice. And, like, since they're in the Pacific Northwest, there's, like, an emphasis on, like, seafood and, like, you can see just the shrimp and the crab legs and the oysters and the sushi. And I'm like, this is nice. I love their ballpark, too, because you can see, when you go all the way up to the top, you can see the coast, but then you also can see the city. It's a great city. I remember that weekend they thought they were going to try and entice Shohei Ohtani to sign there. Yeah, right. Not for $700 million. But for $765 million, the Mets sign Juan Soto. And Juan Soto, going back to Saturday, is a combined 0-4-10. Oh, make that 0-4-11. As I'm keeping an eye on the box score here, Juan Soto just struck out. I don't hate the Mets. I don't. I'm just, this is an update. This is WFN. People need to be informed. Somebody might be watching the Knicks or working, wondering, hey, what's going on in the Met game? You notice how I pivoted, right? So, Juan Soto lined out. Earlier, he had the strikeout. Yeah, Juan Soto was a combined 0-4-11 going back to Saturday, but no biggie. No biggie. You got Brett Beatty. You got Mark Viento, Swaggy V.
He's wonderful.
Well done by you. How do you leave the Yankees after John Sterling gives you that kind of call? I was watching a story of my number. Shout out to Gracie Cashman and the Yes Network. You know, I was watching story of my number over the weekend, and Nick Swisher reminded me that when he had his home run call, John Sterling started off with, like, he's old Saint Nick. And Swisher talked to Sterling. He's like, come on, man, that's not my style. Old Saint Nick, like Santa Claus. And then, you know, back then in the, I think, like, late 2000s, that song by Fergie, Fergalicious. It's hot, Fergalicious. That was out. Fergalicious definition. So John Sterling came up with a new one for Nick Swisher. And he said, Nick Swisher goes deep. He's Swishalicious. It cracked me up. Out of the whole show, I'm like, that part tickled me the most. John is 101. We didn't deserve John Sterling. There'll never be another. I got to hit up John. I got to see if John will come to the ballpark or if I could rendezvous with John somewhere. But anyway, I was trying to give some credit to the Mets and Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos and guys like Luis Torrens and even Jeff McNeil, who today you know, has handled the scoring for the Mets. Is they're only, they only have, you know, one run on the board here off a McNeil double. You know, when the team is as good as this Mets team has been to start the season, especially at home, it does kind of shield guys. But I know fans get impatient with guys like Brett Beatty or Jeff McNeil. But, like, I just look at the Mets as, like, they have so many hitters. And then they also have the top, like, tier hitters. How good has Lindor been at home? Ridiculous. No more slow April. No more slow start. I saw SNY Mets put out Francisco Lindor at Citi Field this season in 19 games. He's got a 408 average, 8 homers, 15 RBI, 19 runs, 3 stolen bases, a 1210 OPS. So he's Aaron Judge at home. Lindor's is going crazy at home. Go ahead and make him the captain. I don't know when they need the ceremony for that to be, but they should go ahead and get that done. And when I look at the Mets pitching, guys like Clay Holmes, I had no idea Clay Holmes was going to be what Clay Holmes is. As the Cubs come to town as one of the best scoring offenses in baseball, and there was this graphic that came out not too long ago, like 2 weeks ago, about how the Cubs had faced so many teams over 500 and how the Mets had faced so many teams under 500. It was almost in a way saying, like, the quality of opponent, makes the Cubs a better team with their record, and was kind of poking holes into the Mets' record. But the Mets went toe-to-toe with them. Clay Holmes pitching on Clay Holmes hockey jersey night. They take the series from the Cubs, and, a guy like Griffin Canning, it's like, it doesn't make sense. It does make sense, though, because in this pitching lab, anybody can be an ace. 888-808-1019. Griffin Canning is one of the most surprising or shocking stories of the year. I'm not surprised by the bullpen being good. I knew that was a focus last year with Stearns, how he tweaked that bullpen and kept tweaking it until it got good. Obviously, you've had some injuries in the bullpen, but you can count on guys like Reed Garrett and Stanek. He had some bumps in the road, but he's back. Even Max Kranich, he'll come back around. I know he gave up a couple runs the other day, but like Jose Buto back, Dednil Nunez back. This thing is fluid and evolving. And as I say that, OG Anunoby knocks down a 3. It's 52-47 with 4 minutes to go in the half. The Knicks got to close this to if they can close this to like a 1 or 2, like a 1-possession game at half, that's a win.
Absolutely. And keep in mind that Boston ended the first quarter on a 12-0 run. So when you keep that in mind and stuff, and what Knicks fans have to realize is that they should be down 3-0 in this series. Boston never blows two 20-point leads. Now, again, results matter. You don't really want to be results-oriented, but in this case, in the playoffs, results matter. They got the win. But in theory, they should be down 3-0. So keep that in mind. Defend your home court tonight. See if you can bounce back in the second half here. And let's go.
Mikal Bridges for 3. So Bridges misses after Brunson missed from 3. This is a tough swing right here because a bucket here puts up the Celtics by 10. Ooh, good take. And then
dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kristaps with the putback and Mitch with the foul. They're about to take a look at that. Now that I have you, how do you feel? I mean, you got Sean Manaea coming back, Paul Blackburn, Frankie Montas. The rich are only going to get richer. Steve Cohen, like I said, I got to give props to Steve Cohen, David Stearns, Carlos Mendoza. Like, this is a product of all the decisions and all the things that they've done. And I love it because, I mean, I remember just a couple years ago, the Mets and the Yankees were at the top of the National League and the American League in 2022. And then when we met up, it was a collision course. So here, when you look at MLB now, the Mets have the fourth best record or second or third best record tied, with the Detroit Tigers. We'll see what happens tonight. At 26-15, they're one of the better teams in baseball. It's not a fluke. You can't say it's because they beat up on the A's or the Marlins or whoever. They're a pretty solid bunch, and so are the Yankees, who scored a ton of runs, and we are in for a movie, a three-game set in the Bronx, the first time we've had a three-game set since 2021.
Yeah, no, listen, we can all bitch and complain about Juan Soto's slow start. I am not concerned one bit. I will continue not to be concerned until he actually proves at the end of the year that he's a 250 hitter, and I don't believe that. So I am not concerned about Juan Soto. Francisco Lindor has been incredible. Pete Alonso has been incredible. Nimmo, incredible. The Luis Torrens situation has been just like...
Oh, yeah, he's another one.
Another one, and we can... And Mets fans, if you ever need to kneel your Yankees brethren, $100,000.
Yeah, but a lot of Yankee fans don't know who Luis Torrens.
But my point is, Torrens would be nice to have. Like, that dude can start.
He would be nice to have. I've had this conversation in a right-handed bat and, like, his defense, and if, like, he was the backup to Wells. Not to knock Ascara. Ascara had a decent little weekend. But to think you gave that guy away to your crosstown rival for $100,000, and now he's, like, not for nothing. There are Mets fans that definitely feel like he's better than Alvarez, and they'd rather see him more than Alvarez. Like, think about that emergence from the Scranton, from the Rail Riders.
Yeah, I listen, the Subway Series is going to be awesome. The only thing that I'm a little concerned about is the weather. It looks rather wet this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to play through the rain.
So that kind of sucks. That'll put a literal damper on the situation. So it's probably
going to... It's going to be messy out there.
It'll be messy. So that kind of takes it away a little bit.
Depending on how long they end up delaying a Friday night with the drunks out there, it could actually get really messy.
It could get spicy. I'm excited, man. The Mets and the Yankees could absolutely meet in October. And I know
I wouldn't go that far.
Sure,
it's on the table.
It's usually not on the table. It is on the table. The Mets are 26-15. They're a very good team. We know the Yankees are very, very good. Okay? So these two teams are very, very good. If you take Ohtani out of the equation, the two best players in baseball might be Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor. And that's not even homerism.
I was about to say, about Pete?
Love Pete. Pete's art has been incredible, but Lindor has been just the spark plug. He's been the heart of the team like he has been the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, I think Pete is higher in the odds to win MVP. It's like him, Fernando Tatis Jr. I think those two are up there in the National League. Lindor as well. Lindor is amazing. Never a bad word about Pete or Lindor. A couple bad words about Soto, but like, of course, Juan Soto, like, remember earlier I said you can't police fans. You can't tell fans in the garden to stand up the whole game. They're going to sit down. You can't tell them when to be loud or what to do. Juan Soto is getting booed, and he's probably getting booed every inning that he runs out there. And I don't think they're going to shield him and put him at DH. So every inning that he's out there, he's getting booed, and he's getting talked to, and there are going to be signs, and there are going to be people. There are going to be people that turn their back. There are going to be people that potentially turn their back, but why would you do that? Then you can't see what's going on.
Right, I can't imagine that Juan Soto actually gives a crap if people are booing him.
Of course he does.
I honestly don't think he cares.
I think he likes that. I think he's going to sit there and be locked into the game. But listen to all that. You know, I was at a lot of those games where, you know, him, Judge, they had fun with the crowd. Trying to, you know, hype the crowd up to see where to throw a baseball. You know, hey Juan, right hand for... Left hand for everybody's seen those videos. And, he had the loudest roll call. And I am interested to see, you know, will he throw a warm-up ball into the stands and where? Because that's where you're going to get, that's going to be an interesting look.
He's going to hear it in right field.
Because then those Yankee fans that are booing him and be like, right here, Juan, throw it to me.
Especially if, like, Soto, let's just say, like, hits a home run first inning and he gets out there in the bottom of the first.
Every game. Games, Soto to homer, definitely.
And you saw the power. It was early this week. That home run he hit in City Field to, like, the bridge almost. That's one of the longest
home runs
he's
unlocking at the right time.
Seen in a very long time.
He's got this little bit of a cold stretch here. Like I just said, 0-4 his last 11. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that at all. I'm sure he'll get right here against the Pirates, and he'll be ready to go in Yankee Stadium this weekend. I'll see you there. I think I'm going Friday and Saturday. I'll be on Friday night after the game, and then I'm also on Sunday, but I'm on Sunday before the game. Where, like, I want to go to Sunday night baseball, but I also don't want to go late. I could leave here and get home and be set up. I'll probably go home. So maybe I'm going Friday, but then the turnaround Friday is, like, for me, go to sleep and try to, like, medicate myself to sleep at 3 a.m. Like, magnesium, melatonin, Unisom, Zyzol, like, load up to, like, make myself go to sleep at 3:30. Then I'm going to be drowsy in the morning when that alarm goes off naturally at 9, and then I'm out of my house by 10 to get to the stadium at 11, 2 hours before first pitch, and then turn it right back up for a Saturday, and it might be raining. So, man, big week and big weekend coming up. We've got to take a break. When we come back, it should be halftime or close to it. Keith McPherson on the Fan until 9 o'clock, so last call for calls. We'll be right back. Little Sunday show. I mean, another plot twist. With, you know, going to the game, Keith McPherson on the Fan. NJ Transit potential strike coming up this, I think, Friday, I was hearing. Yep, NJ Transit put out, due to potential rail service stoppage, NJ Transit will not be operating train or bus service to MetLife Stadium for Shakira concert. No, that's not what I was looking for. Let's see. There was another one that they put out. Yeah. In the event of potential rail stoppage that could begin on Friday, May 16th, NJ Transit is urging all train customers to work from home if possible and only use other NJ Transit service for essential travel. Well, the whole work from home thing ended like a year or two ago. Like, most people have to go to work. Some people have remote jobs, but like, as far as like, you know, the pandemic and working from home, like, I mean, you got to go to work. I've done every single show from here. I've never done a show from home. Little sidebar. But it's not hard for me to get here. I don't take NJ Transit to get here. But when you're thinking about how many people from New Jersey might be taking the train into the city to go to Yankee Stadium or Friday, Game 6 at Madison Square Garden, could get a little tricky. 888-808-1019. If you'd like to talk to me about the Knicks, they're down 62-51 at halftime. 9 points to me, I don't think is a safe enough lead. 9 points to me, I just think that the Knicks, they've had some struggles coming out of halftime in the third quarter, and like they need their best third quarter here. They've got to come out firing. They've got to come out really strong, and that might be a little bit of a tall task for them right now. And if the Celtics just, Celtics hit one bucket, they're up double digits. Celtics hit a couple buckets, and they're just running away with this thing. And then it can't come down to a fourth quarter. Like, if they are able, if the Celtics are able to go up 20 again in the second half, like we've seen multiple times, it'll be whether the Knicks are able to close it or not to be the deciding factor. If they're able to close that 20-point gap again, which I don't expect that to happen, it's going to be tough. Basically, what I'm telling you is I don't feel good about the Knicks stealing this one. You stole two games. You can't steal a series. You stole two games. I don't know if you could steal three out of the four wins required. Like, stealing multiple games in their other building, like, that, it's tough. Like, now they're on high alert. Jason Tatum, at the half, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 for 13. First player with a 25, 2 steals, 2 blocks, first half in the playoffs. So he's dialed. Maybe that wrist is feeling a little bit better. Anyway, what I wanted to do before I got out of here tonight was talk about the NFL schedule leaks. So Wednesday we'll get the schedule, but you know, the NFL is king, and they start to leak stuff out there. And I just ran into Double R, and he was like, Philly, Dallas, week one. I'm like, yeah, I saw that. I also saw the Jets will be facing the Broncos in London. I need a reason to go back to London. I would love to go back to London for any reason. New York will host the Denver Broncos on October 12th, week 6 in London. And what other one did I see? There's a few coming out there. And, you know, the way that they the schedules are done. But what they do is, you know, they trickle out these, you know, certain games like, okay, week 17, Thursday night football on Prime Video, Denver Broncos versus Kansas City Chiefs. That's the Christmas Thursday night football game. Like, how about the Chiefs saying, we want to play on Christmas every year. We want to be a part of it. Okay, you got it. You got it. A red team. Big jolly head coach. You got it. Yeah, Eagles, Cowboys to kick off the season in Philly. Man, perfect way to humble the champs. Dallas to go in there and beat them. George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Jaden Blue. Week 13. The Chicago Bears will play a Friday night game November 28th. Black Friday against the Eagles in Philly. The NFL is king. They're going to take all the holidays they can take. They're going to do what they got to do. And as far as the Giants are concerned, I know I was having a conversation last week about how I like the Giants draft. I like the personality of these guys. I finally think now we're about to see Shane and Dable's team and the guys that they picked it, and there's less of the Gettleman guys, and like now you're about to see what these guys can do. I still don't expect them to win a lot of games, but I do expect that over-under to shift the game from 3.5 to maybe 4.5 based on where they're playing. And you know how the schedule is. You know, with flights and certain trips. Like, we know that at home they'll face their division, the Giants, but then at home they also have to host the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the San Francisco 49ers. That is a tough go about. Like, and then you got to face the two teams that were in the NFC Championship and a Dallas team that last year did not have Dak Prescott. Now they have Dak Prescott. Now they have George Pickens. And now they have some new draft picks as well. It's uphill. Even if they're, I expect them to compete, but even if they're competing, it's hard to beat these established teams with quarterbacks. Like, I'm telling you already, and I've gotten out in front of this, I don't expect Russell Wilson to be anything. I expect him to be pedestrian, average. And if he's pedestrian, average, they need to be plus elsewhere. Did we talk about Gabe Davis? I don't know if I got an opportunity to talk about Gabe Davis signing with the Giants. Obviously, coming from the Bills, he knows that system. The Giants got to be plus on defense. And I think they could be with that defensive line. They've got to be good everywhere else, and it's just going to be tough. You know, on the road, this is where I think they'll be able to steal some games. Like, didn't we see them? We saw them steal a game against the Browns early in the year, against Seattle earlier in the year. And I think that's just like teams will underestimate them. So their road schedule outside of the division, they go to Chicago. Why can't they beat the Chicago Bears? They definitely could beat the Chicago Bears. Why can't they beat the New England Patriots? In theory, they definitely could beat the Saints. Derek Carr just retired. Who are the Saints going to put out there? Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck? They definitely can beat the Saints. There's three potential wins right there. Now, I'm not going to say that they definitely could beat the Raiders. The Raiders now have Geno Smith. Now they have Ashton Jeanty as well, and like their regime is different. But what a trip if you're a Giants fan to go to Vegas to see the Giants potentially steal a game from the Raiders. When will that be? That's what I want to know. When, is that early in the season or is that late in the season? Because those things matter too. Early in the season, guys are healthier. They just have more gusto about them. And then they also have to go to Detroit. And Denver, that's another great place to go see a football game. The culture in Mile High and just the city of Denver is amazing. So we are going to find out soon the home and away schedule for the Giants and where they're going to go. Same with the Jets. We do already know that they're going to London. And then I think we can play the game of this is a loss, this is a win, this is potentially a loss or a win. And yeah, football will be here before we know it. So looking forward to all of it. Looking forward to this entire week. We'll see what the Knicks end up doing here again. The Knicks, I feel like they needed to close that halftime to one possession. It's 62-51.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.